What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Well, hello, my friends. Welcome into another episode of Bolt Brady and his bro. It's the best place for your sports gambling information. We're going to wrap up the March Madness here, and then we're going to dive into the Masters. So let's welcome in our guy, Bolt.
Yeah, it was action-packed weekend. We had Caitlin Clark first for the Iowa Hawkeyes in the championship game.
She was balling. That semifinal had like 15 million, and then that championship got like 25 million. So they were breaking records.
Wow, that's crazy. I watched the game, actually quite a bit of it. Haven't really watched that much of a ladies basketball game before, but I had to tune in to check out Caitlin because everyone was chitting about her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more impressed with her like vision as a point guard. Like, she's legit at, she can see the court really well.
Yeah, she can throw some dimes. She looks up and she like gets it out quick.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, she just didn't have the supporting cast.
Yeah.
It wasn't happening.
It was a size issue. The South Carolina had like the 6'7" girl, but Caitlin came out rocking. I think she had like 18 in that first quarter. But it is weird. You look at the ticker in a women's game, and it kind of throws you off because they go by quarters.
Yeah.
And you watch March Madness, and it's those halves.
Yeah, it is different for sure. I give props to the South Carolina coach. What's her name? Staley or whatever?
Dawn Staley, yeah.
Because she said that she, you know, wants to thank Caitlin for, you know, making the game so much bigger, like people tuning into it. That was pretty classy move.
Yeah, that was cool. She said, thanks for bringing the eyeballs and handling yourself with grace.
So anyway, that was the ladies' side of things. And then we had the men's. Dun, 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 dun. Peer domination. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I mean, what'd you think of the tournament as a whole? I mean, I guess you probably liked it because you picked the UConn.
But so many people picked him. It's like you had to have more guys in the final, more teams in the final four to kind of win your pool.
Yeah. That does not typically happen. Cause I want to say like, well, it's at least 25, maybe 30% of people picked UConn. So there's a lot of people out there sitting there winning, but yeah, there's probably a lot of people like yourself where they picked UConn, but they didn't have enough other teams to go with it. So they didn't, you know, didn't do anything. So you didn't even place in fourth and you had the winner.
No, I mean, God, I ended up like 10th, I want to say. Like, I was way down there.
Right.
Because what you said, it had been years till two number one seeds had even met in the final four.
Right. Now, there was a lot of things that took place. I mean, this was the most dominant, like the, you know, top seeds have been, even covering spreads. I mean, it was crazy. Like, because Purdue, so we all know, or maybe don't all know, that UConn has covered the spread in last year's run to the championship and this year's run. So they beat everyone by at least 13 points. I mean, that's just the biggest joke of all time. But Purdue went through the tournament undefeated against the spread also until they met UConn.
Wow.
So, and, you know, you and I were discussing the line last time, what would it would be? And we said like 5.5, and that's actually what it came out to be. And then I said, well, if it gets up to 7, I'll take Zach. And it was kind of teetering back and forth between 6.5 and 7. And it got to 7. And I took Zach. And the other thing that was interesting about the line is the over-under went from 148 points. It dropped 5 down to 143, which is just a huge move. So some big chippers came in at the end and said, hey, we'll take the under here. So if someone said to me, hey, Bolt, Zach Edey's going to score 37, the game's going to go under by 8 points, who are you going to take to cover the 7? And I'd be like, give me Purdue. The problem is no one told me that. No one else on Purdue would sack up.
Dude, you talk about getting no supporting cast there. I was just like, man, can someone else, like a guard, step up and hit a 3 or like go to the hoop and take some of the relief on this guy?
Wow, I know. He had loads of help. And how about this? This is how much help he had. So, ready for this stat? Okay, there was only one guy, Big Smith, the guard for Purdue, that had an assist. He had 8 assists. And not one other person on the team had an assist even.
Wow.
How weird is that?
I mean, for a long time, they only had the 1 3-pointer. They couldn't hit a bucket outside.
Well, nope. That's all they had. Yeah. 1 for 7. Not cutting it. That was the thing. So my son had basketball practice, and so I had to tune in on the phone, and I was checking out. Right,
pull up the Hulu.
Yep. Right before practice started, I took a look at the stats, and I'm like, whoa. They're like, they were like 0 for 3 from three ball land. That's it, you know? And they were down 6, 36 to 30, and I go, I told my son, I go, Purdue's in trouble. I'm like, they're not chucking up threes. They're still behind, and Zach's dominating. I mean, Zach was 15 for 25 from the field, 7 for 10 from the free throw, 37 points, 10 rebounds. That guy came to play. That's why he was the two-time player of the year, and his team said, sorry, Zach, we're not coming tonight.
Yeah. I mean, he can get his. It's just, it's too slow and methodical. You know, it's like he could kind of go at Klingon. And I thought maybe he could get those guys in foul trouble. And it looked like maybe for like the last 7 minutes, it might happen. But if no one else is getting buckets, it's the pace is too fast. They're not scoring fast enough to keep up with UConn.
I know. And UConn still was only 6 for 22 from the three ball.
But so many other guys could get like a putback, or you know, just they were dropping some dimes or oops to each other at least.
Well, let's talk about oops. Did you see the one from Big Camden, the guy for Purdue?
Mm-hmm.
Camden Hyde's dip. Wow, that was legit. I didn't see it actually, but it was cruising around on the internet. Zach Edey did a little baby hook, and Cam came in, timed it perfectly, and just. Conk.
Was it lefty? Yeah, I like to pull up the box score when those are happening because some of these dudes you don't know their background as much. I had to tap on his and see how tall he was. 6'7".
Of course, he was tall. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, it was a good putback. But I'm like, oh, that dude's pretty tall.
The other thing is, we were kind of wondering about the background of Dan Hurley. You know, we know that he did like he coached at Prep and stuff like that. So he actually was a coach at Wagner, right? So you know, we always talk about like these guys have to work their way up the ranks, and Bobby joined him at Wagner as an assistant. And then Bobby went to coach Buffalo, like we were talking about. And then how about this? When Bobby left Buffalo to go to Arizona State, Nate Oates, the coach of Alabama.
I saw the picture of him. Yeah, he was in the huddle with him.
He was on the staff. So he took over at Buffalo, kept balling there, and then he went to Bama. So, you know, those guys all know each other. It's pretty cool.
Well, funny enough, too, is, you know, Calipari's saying peace out to Kentucky to go to Arkansas.
Yeah.
And two of the names, you know, Hurley's a reach in the wind there. I don't think he would ever do it. But they throw out Oates, and they don't throw out Bobby Hurley.
Yeah. Right. Well, they're seeing the success of the squad.
Yeah, they asked Dan Hurley last night, like, you know, you stay in? He's like, you know, we just won this thing. Come on.
Yeah.
Can I enjoy it? And they asked the athletic director for UConn, too. And he's like, I don't think he's going anywhere. You know, they just kind of upped him to $5 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, man, I can't take my wife further away from New Jersey.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. He's like, you know, we moved a little bit. And he's like, and I just started making money. So I think we're going to stay here.
He said that.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, what is that now? That's 6 national championships for UConn men's basketball in the last like 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the recency of them, like it's more impressive. I mean, they always throw up the UCLA thing, but we're talking Lou Alcindor here and Bill Walton.
Mm-hmm.
That's days ago.
When they were like 9 inches taller than everyone.
And you couldn't play freshman on the team. It was like a freshman team.
That's right. So UConn, I mean, now it's just a matter of how well they can judge talent. What I mean by that is, I mean, they've got the pick of the litter. But that doesn't mean like they're going to be legit every time, because if they don't pick the right guys, you know, then.
Yeah, I don't think that's his secret sauce. I think he obviously gets some talented dudes, but I think he said he goes for a certain type of personality. He's like, you know, you have to have the blend of some upperclassmen, a portal guy or two, and then like a really young stud who you can plug in right away.
That's what he was saying, huh?
But he just seems like he just seems like the right guy for the right time. He seems a little bit like he can get on their ass, but he seems like current enough where they really like him.
So yeah.
He just seems like a good blend of what these dudes like.
Yep. I think that's a good call. So congratulations, UConn. I was with you last year, and then this year you killed me, bud. I was trying to swim upstream too many times against you. Wasn't the call.
I was looking at their unis. I mean, I used to go through that, East Bay catalog, you know, and I get everybody's college hoop shorts and playing them. And I don't think UConn's have changed one bit.
They haven't with the...
It's just that exact same pattern, kind of the flimsy looking fabric.
With the Husky on the side or whatever?
Yeah, I'm like, we could maybe throw in an alternate to that bad boy occasionally. But that was impressive. You know, I mean, we'll see. He'll reload. He'll get a portal guy, you know, another freshman, and then we'll see what they can do. I mean, three in a row would be crazy.
Well, I just can't believe that they've beaten everyone by double digits for 2 years straight now.
That was the most impressive point differential,
right?
Marching through the bracket.
Yep.
Well, it like topped a Kentucky squad from, you know, their mid 2010s.
They're 31-1 straight up outside of their league. So meaning when they play someone outside of the Big East, they're 31-1.
Yeah, I mean they got you know three times this season. I think they were at Creighton when it happened, but it's those league teams that do know them a little bit better,
right? That coach for them more.
Yep, but that was fun to watch. I mean, I enjoyed it. Stayed on there till the end to watch the one shining moment.
Yeah. So congratulations, and now we move on to the Masters,
Augusta.
Probably the best golf week of the year. It's definitely up there.
Yeah. I mean, when you get the good weather down there, and it just, the setting cannot be better.
Well, since you touched on the weather, it supposed to kind of rain on Sunday?
Thursday? I haven't pulled up the Augusta one.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me pull that up here right here. Why don't you, while I'm bringing this up, why don't you tell me what sticks out to you first when you think about this? Masters.
When I was driving today, they kind of just started to release the pairings. I don't know if you started to hear any of those.
So no, I didn't yet.
You know, they want to talk about Tiger that he's playing, and so they put him with like Jay Day and Max Homa.
Jay Day and Tigray?
Jason Day, yeah.
Really?
Yep. So they're like, man, you know, it's like you don't even want to be paired with him because it's such a distraction.
You're talking about Tiger. I thought you were talking about Jay Day.
No, he's battled back. He's actually been pretty solid this year.
Well, we'll see if he's got the injury coming up.
Oh, no. He'll say his sinuses are plugged or something Wednesday night. And he'll still play, but he'll let you know about it post-round.
Right.
I had to go to urgent care for a sinus infection, but I still made the tee time and battled through. But I should be okay this weekend.
So Jay Day and Tigray, who else we got?
You know, Fitzpatrick's with like Rahm was one that I heard, and then like there's like a super pairing of like Rory, Xander, and Scottie Scheff.
Rory, wow, okay, yeah, that's gonna get some run. I was thinking about Rory, and I was like, dude, like, how about when you're the past champion, right? You obviously get to go to the champion's dinner.
Which is Tuesday night. It's tonight.
Okay. And so how about when, you know, Jordo and Rahm and Phil and all these guys are like, dude, I'll see you at dinner. This is going to be legit. And then there's Roar and goes, yep. All right. See you guys later. I'm going to go watch.
I'll be down at the Waffle House.
I'm at the Waffle House. I'm going to go watch the new Ghostbusters movie. See you guys later.
With my lady.
Hope you guys have fun. But I was thinking about that. I'm like, God, that would kind of suck, you know, because obviously there's some ballers at that dinner. And then you get to hang out with the OGs and stuff, too. And I'm sure they have a blast. And then, like, Roar and some of those other big names, they're like, they're not in it, you know?
Yeah, no, it'd be so cool to hear some of those old school dudes kind of run the table with some of their chat. And they say Ben Crenshaw is always one of the leaders of telling stories and kind of hosting, emceeing the thing.
Oh, really? Yeah, so, wow, I checked the weather here. 85% chance on Thursday for rain. So it says 76 degrees on Thursday, but 85%. Then Friday, 71 and sunny. Saturday, 78 and sunny. And then Sunday, 84 and Sunday.
Nice.
Sunny. Yeah. So it looks like Thursday is just the only day.
Well, it's not like a cold rain, but yeah, it's still bothersome. That someone like Tiger, that's just more bothersome for him. That's more trouble.
Well, should we talk about Tig here? Because, you know, I was looking into him and came across some stats. Well, first of all, what made me think about it was, okay, so Scottie Scheff, I mean, has this guy been a joker his last, like, 10 events, okay? So I'm like, well, let's go back to this thing, the Hero Challenge that started in December, actually, you know?
Tiger's thing in the Bahamas?
Yeah. Okay, so this is what place he has taken in each tournament since then. First, fifth, 17th. Okay, that's the worst. Then he goes 6th, 3rd, 10th, 1st, 1st, 2nd, and the last three.
Nice, nice try.
Jim, Christmas. So he comes out, and he's only the favorite. He's the favorite to win the tournament, obviously, at 4-1 odds. Okay, yeah. That is super low. Like, first of all, I can't remember the last time they've been that low, except for Tigray back in the day, which I'll get to in a minute here. Typically, like, the number one guys are, like, at 11. Okay, like, what Rahm and Rory are 11-1 right now. Sometimes, like, you know, if someone's really balling, like DJ one year, I remember he was, like, the 10-1. So, Scotty's 4-1. And then let's put that in perspective with Big Tigray. Well, how about this? Tigray, back in 2000 to 2003, those 3 years, he was 1.5-1 or 2-1 to win. And then how about this? In year 2007, he was actually -125.
Jeez.
So you had to put 125 down to win 100 on him. Versus like Scotty this year, if you put 100 down, you'd win 400. So yeah, how about that year 2007? He was minus money. That's how much of a joker that guy was. He's taking on a field of like what?
Like 82.
82 dudes, and he's minus against them. Holy cow. He actually, in case some of you are wondering, he finished in 2nd that time.
Behind who?
I do not know that one. But now you ask me, what is Tigray this year? Do you know what he is? What he is against? So if you put down...
It wasn't like 10,000 plus 10,000, was it?
It's even worse. So you're saying, yeah, plus he's plus 175. So... Put the hundo down on Tigray, and you could see what your chips would be. 17,500. That basically says they have no confidence in Tigray doing diddly squat. So, of course, they're going to get people to throw the chippers on him, but it's not happening. So, Tigray's gone from minus 125 to 175. But, you know, cut the guy some slack. Obviously, he's a lot older now, and he's had a boatload of injuries. The question is the guy going to make the cut?
Yeah. That's what he actually kind of said his goal was, is the cut streaks, you know, is still going here at the Masters.
I think he's at 23 years, right, in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a question for you. You can take Phil versus Tigray. Phil, minus 130. You can actually get plus money on Tigray. Who would you take?
Phil, for sure. I mean, Phil backdoored 2nd last year.
He sure did. He fired the 65, and he tied Brooks for 2nd. Big Brooks, big game Brooks, was in the lead after 36 holes, 54 holes last year, and then he fired the 75er.
Yeah, just a little lost on Sunday there.
Wow, not cutting her.
That's my boy, too. I love watching him in the majors.
Well, so how about Brooks has got 5 majors, and he's only got 4 PGA Tour wins. How about that as a stat? And then we touched on Rory, and we touched on him last year, I recall, too. But last year it was 9. This year's 10 years now since he's won a major. Mm-hmm. 10 years. Not happening.
No, well, just not happening at this place.
I mean, he's got 7 top 10s at the Masters in the last 10 years, which is awesome. But I mean, the guy's got like probably, you know, arguably the most talent in the game. So for him to get a top 10 is no big deal. The difference between the top 10 and getting the W is large. And Rohr goes, I'm worried about it.
Yeah, well, and they're also, he backdoors a lot of those top 10s because it's like come Sunday, he's out of contention. He goes off a little earlier, just paired with someone like Morikawa, who's not in the mix either, and he throws up like a 64.
Right, that happens all the time because there's no pressure on him anymore. They're like, Rohr, wow, you're not doing it again. Okay, sweet. The gallery goes, adios. He's got no one following him except maybe his lady and his parents. And so he's like, no pressure. And then he just fires backdoor top 10. But on Thursday, it's a different story when he's got 90% of the gallery following him around, seeing if he can go for the Grand Slam. And I'm pulling for you, Roar. That'd be legit. But in my personal opinion, and it's only my opinion, and I've said it before, I just don't think you care as much as you used to, which is fine. You used to when you were a little guy and you dominated, and now you're like, hey, I'm just playing the game I love.
I wouldn't classify it as caring. I just think it's gone so far and so long. It's like he tries all these different approaches of like, okay, how can I calm down and get myself in a better headspace here? It's just in his crawl, as they say. He wants it so bad for the Grand Slam. It's just he can't relax and play that true free golf.
Well, no, I mean, forget the Grand Slam. I mean, we're just talking a major here.
But this one has the added pressure. It's to complete, the Grand Slam.
That's fine. But I'm like, when we go to the U.S. Open or the British or whatever, there's not that Grand Slam pressure on him, and he still can't do it.
No.
So, yes, I agree with you. There's more on this one because of the Grand Slam for sure. But he just, I mean, he obviously had the dome game, you know, big time when he was younger, but he just shut her down. And wow, I mean, he needs the psychologist or something.
I mean, he does all that. He even switched to Butch recently. It's like it's known, but it's not a full blown up, but it's there. He's talking about, I went and saw Butch.
How long ago?
Like the last month he's seen him, and he's like,
there you go.
He's like, now we text, you know, pretty much daily. And then he's like, I came out to Augusta last week for two practice rounds, but you have to go to Butch now. You have to go to Nevada, Henderson, to his site and get the lessons there.
Really? Butch is like, dude, you got to come to me now?
Yeah, he doesn't go out on the circuit anymore. I mean, he's like 80 now.
Right.
But everyone's like, you know, he is half psychologist, half coach.
For sure.
Rory's like, he had me come in. First thing with him is like, you just go into his office and you sit there and we talk for like 45 minutes. But it wasn't even about golf. Just kind of BS. He's like, and then you leave there. And you've got two sweet swing tips and, you know, about 30 stories that he told you while you're on the range.
So I wonder how much he cost.
That's not even a problem for those guys.
No, but I know it's not.
But yeah, how do you throw a number out there? Like, what do I owe you for 2 days here?
Well, or just, yeah. Or
50 dimes.
Or you taking me on for the next, you know, I'm going to be texting you asking questions and stuff. I wonder, like, yeah, that'd be cool to know. If anyone knows, go ahead and send us the email. I'd love to know that. That'd be awesome.
We'll keep your name a secret. We'll just let the info out there.
Right. Yeah, definitely won't tell you, but bolt@boltbrady.com. I'd love to know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool that he went to Butch. I mean, I'm kind of surprised it took him this long.
He's searched. I mean, they show him at, what was it, Arnold Palmer's tournament, and he was talking to Brad Faxon on the putting green. Like, You always ask guys for things here or there, but you can just tell he just wants that little thing that's going to push him over the top because it's been so long. Because Faxon was known as one of the best putters ever. And Faxon's up in the booth now for NBC, but he was like in his suit and he was down there talking to him for like 20 minutes about putting.
Yeah, I've noticed people have touched base with Brad about putting before.
Mm-hmm.
So you said Rory's paired up with who?
Scotty and Xander.
Wow. People are chitting about Xander because I guess Xander's been playing really well also as of late.
Mm-hmm. He's another one. I wouldn't trust him to get over the hump. I just, there's something where he doesn't quite do her for the majors.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you won a PGA event?
Yeah, it's been a while. But this is when the big dogs come out, you know? I've shared that before with the stats. Like, hardly ever. Okay, let's see. There's only been one person that's won the Masters in their first appearance. I asked you for the last 2 years. See if you can remember it this year.
I always want to say Fuzzy.
Yes, you got it.
Was it Fuzzy?
Fuzzy Zoeller. Nice play. He's the only person that's ever won the Masters at his first appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So the big dogs, I mean, that's why Phil, even though Phil balled last year, like it was the first time that Phil actually made the top 15 since 2015. So before you start filling out your bracket on who you think's going to ball, you know, that was Phil had to fire the 65 last year to get back in the mix.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard tournament to get into. You know, you have to be in good standing with the money list or world ranking points and what have you. Or they're starting to throw a couple special invites out there because the LIV guys are dipping. So they threw one out to Joaquin Niemann because, I mean, he's solid. And the LIV guys, you know, you just don't I still SportsCenter doesn't show their highlights, nor does Golf Channel. So,
no.
I mean, I throw it on the CW occasionally on the weekend, and it's, it is a totally different broadcast, and I love to watch some golf. And it has a different feel, but you just, you don't see them as much. Like, you don't, so they're, I mean, of course, I'm thinking about Brooks for the majors, but you just don't see those guys in their highlights very often.
Well, right. Well, like, the Golf Channel has probably got, they're linked up with the PGA too much.
Yeah, they're like, we're not going to show you until you guys, you know, merge.
And the LIV, the guys, like, the big names, I mean, they don't do squat out there. It's a charity event that they're doing. I mean, they could care less. They're like, thanks for the chippers. We're only playing 54 holes. They get to wear shorts, right?
Yep.
They're blasting the tunes. I mean, it's kind of a joker, really.
Did you see Rom? You know, they start talking to him this week, and he's like, I think we need to switch to the 72 holes.
Yeah, he goes, I haven't played a tournament this year, because he was implying that he hasn't played 72 holes.
But, you know, Liv's probably like, hold on here, bud.
Yeah.
We just threw you 350
yeah.
plus, maybe.
Yeah.
And you're coming in here, and, you know, there's whispers that he misses the PGA, and he's like, I miss defending some certain tournaments that I won, like in Palm Desert and stuff. And, you know, our thing's called LIV, which the Roman numerals is 54.
Right.
It's 54 holes, and you're telling us let's switch her to 72.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going, hey, Johnny, don't forget who signed that paycheck over there, buddy.
There's a couple cheeseburgers back there behind the...
you're all ours now. Cool. Thanks very much. Let's trap it over there, big guy. LIV's the best thing that ever happened to you.
I'm sure he's thinking if we go to 72, though, then the world ranking gets into play.
Yeah.
But they've gone so long without getting them. Those guys have slipped so much that they'd have to correct this thing some other way.
Yeah. So you mentioned Joaquin. I know a lot of people have been shitting about him, like, kind of as the dark horse. But here's a stat that might make people think differently. He's played in 19 majors. He's never finished in the top 10. Not one time.
Wow.
Yeah. So, not sure if that's going to bode well for the big Masters.
Yeah. I mean, he's really good. He won LIV's opening tournament. He took Rom to, like, extra holes down in Mexico, and he won it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't even know how much those guys are really trying on those bad boys.
Yeah. I mean, you're saying first-timers, it's tough. So, I was kind of looking at some of those guys. I think the guy that won last week on the PGA, Batia or whatever, he snuck in by winning.
Yeah, he jacked up his shoulder.
You know, the shoulder goes out in the celebration because he doesn't have any yolks back there to hold it in.
Right.
But it was kind of like, he's kind of like, you know, maybe coming in under the radar. But it's like, how are you under the radar now? You know, you won. But I was looking at some first-timers, and, you know, Zalatoris did well when I picked him that first time.
Yeah.
And then Sahith Theegala was my one last year, and they both top-10'd it. I think Zalatoris was maybe like third that one year.
So what you're telling us is that you're good at picking the first timers.
I'm saying for someone, this guy's not going to surprise you by his name, but it's his first time playing.
I know who you're going to say. It's my partner.
Big Windy.
Yep.
Clark.
I've got Windy's back.
I think he's going to top 10 for a first timer.
Okay. So that's your guy there.
Well, that's for, yeah, in terms of, you know, and some other guys that, you know, you might not think of. Like Russell Henley finished fourth here last year, and he's been playing good this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people like that Nikolai Højgaard. He was a Ryder Cupper. He's Danish. He's a first-timer.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you who I'm looking at here. What do you think about that big guy? Let's start off with, took him last year too, my boy Patrick Reed. Guy's cruising under the radar a little bit.
I have him as down here also. I like him here.
So Patrick won in 2018, and he's actually finished top 10 three out of the next 5 years. So clearly he's from Georgia, right? Or he played at Georgia State. Did he grow up in Georgia? I don't know, but he played at Georgia State.
He grew up in Augusta right there. It's in the same town. Or he went to college there.
Georgia State, right?
But it's in the town of Augusta.
Yeah, I think so. So clearly, I mean, it means a lot to him, and he balls when he comes. So I like Big Patrick. And then, wow, is this guy flying under the radar? Probably more so than any year, I think. No one's talking about Big Jordo, so I will.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, he's he's probably my favorite player. He just has not had it going. Like,
well,
I think, what did they say? He has two... You have two wins in the last 7 years.
So, okay, so there's this dude. His name's Kyle Porter. He threw this thing out on Twitter, and it was pretty legit. And it was showing that every time that Jordo does well at the Masters, his play 3 months up to the Masters, he's doing very, very well. And so he laid out the stats. And this year, the last 3 months, Jordo's been balling. Like statistically. And so he compared every year and you could see it. You're like, wow, when he did play well the first 3 months before the Masters, he did do well. So that lines up for him. Wow, Jordo, got your back. He's like 22-1.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a place where it definitely awakens him even more too. He's got that Phil kind of quality here where he loves it so much and putts so well.
And I haven't taken Jordo in a while, actually. And he took fourth place last year. Yeah. So, I mean, he balls. And then for the best bet, Jordo versus Hideki. And we get plus money on Jordo. Jordo's actually plus 101. So Hideki's like minus 135 in that matchup. So, like I say, year in and year out, the matchups is the best place to go. And my best bet is Jordo versus Hideki.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like Jordo to win it.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I think everyone's probably going to check Scotty is like, you know, because he's such a dominant guy right now. If he gets that putter rocking, it's going to be scary. But he's not my pick. I like Brooks. Again, he steps it up in these things.
Yep.
But I'm going with another LIV guy who no one's really talking about. Big Cam Smith.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
I think he's got the short game and the putter. He had to drop out of the last LIV tourney in Miami. They thought it was maybe food poisoning. So, I mean, we're really not talking about him.
Food poisoning, or he went out late in Miami.
Right. He likes to crush the brews for sure because he got like the 150 mil. So he says he just likes to take the mates out and have a couple.
Right.
So I'm going to go with Big Cam Smith.
Yeah. I like when he's in it. I like his demeanor and stuff.
He got rid of the mullet too.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean,
does he still have the stash though?
The thin stash, I think it was there. But the hair was, I mean, it looked a little weird in the hat.
Yeah, I bet. But what would look really weird is if you didn't have the stash. But okay. Yeah, so that's guy. I like it. Someone that's under the radar. So my two guys that I think that are going to ball are Jordo and Patrick Reed. And I like Jordo versus Hideki. And then you said you would take Phil over Tiger.
For sure.
I think that – I wonder that – that's probably not very often that matchup. That Tiger or that Phil's favored over the years.
I mean, like Tiger hasn't like finished a turning. Like I know he just wants to make it to the weekend.
Oh,
I mean,
that's true.
He pulled out a Genesis was the last time he tried. I think he claimed, you know, stomach or something different there.
And this is one of the hardest courses to walk.
So is Riviera. It's got some up and down to it too, for sure. I mean, this isn't a fun walk, especially Thursday. It's going to be wet.
Right. Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
That's why he's 175
mm-hmm.
to one.
Yeah, I mean, no one else. Those are the guys I like. I mean, I saw some odds on Justin Thomas, but like that guy never does well here, and he just cut ties with Bones, so there's no way.
That's so weird. Right before the Masters, they cut ties?
Uh-huh.
That's not good, because that's just going to be a huge distraction.
And he doesn't play well here really anyway. And then, no. Yeah, he's got the new caddy on the bag.
Yeah. Oh, and last, real quick, too, I heard Tiger's got the new caddy on the bag, right? I think Tiger got the new guy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who it is, actually, this week.
I thought it was maybe like a local dude.
Yeah, because it's not LaCava.
Yeah. That just seemed the timing for those, like right before the Masters, because you know you're going to get someone out there that goes, hey, Justin, so what happened with Big Bones? And he goes, rotten. I almost want to talk about this right now.
Well, that's why he tried to do the social media post, and like we'll always be friends and have each other in our lives, but you know, at this point we're going separate directions.
Right before the Masters, Jim mm-hmm. Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for me. And then why don't you let people know that we plan on cranking her back right up for the NBA?
Yeah, next Tuesday I think the NBA play-in games will start. So we won't take a week off. We'll come at you guys next Tuesday and we'll start talking some NBA. Play-in games and NBA playoffs, and we'll stick with you guys through the NBA playoffs up until summer. So we all got that going.
Woohoo!
All right, but that'll do it. Thanks for listening to our March Madness wrap-up and then our Masters preview, which is our favorite golf tournament to watch. We will come at you guys after this weekend. Enjoy the golf, and we'll see you next Tuesday. See ya.